Sparking Zero situation is insane.
No,
dude, this is a key moment because we're here right now in this video together. And Dotto, right before, you know, starting to film this, we got the little info drop on our next DLC pack for Sparking Zero. I wanted to get what are your immediate thoughts, Dotto Doya?
Immediate thoughts on it is I thought it was pretty cool. Like I thought Ku looked really good. I think Vegeta Super Saiyan 3 is going to be pretty hype to me. You know, I feel like some people kind of turned on that episode, maybe didn't like it as much, but I like the Super Saiyan 3 mini Vegeta beatdown. If people watch this podcast, I hope they can at least realize that out of Daima, I mean, mini Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta Tamagami 2 fight, I was a huge fan. I think I said it was the best episode of the show when it happened.
You liked it now, more. Which I could not fully, I mean, I love Vegeta, but I cannot fully agree. But you liked it more than Tamagami 3 versus SSJ Goku, I feel like.
I did, and that might be just crazy. a hype and aura moment, because Vegeta was kind of farming. Not that it's still the best episode of the show, but overall, I thought the DLC lineup was crazy. What did you think of the characters they chose to include?
I don't know that it's necessarily an issue of like, it's not an issue, but I think that, and I'm sure Bandai probably could not help this, but I think it's more of a timing thing than the actual characters involved in the pack. It's just like, you know, the internet and all of us move so quickly that this pack would have hit like that week that we watched that SSJ 3 episode, because that am I wrong?
No, well, you are really correct, but I just know Bandai heard you say that and one of them passed out. This would have hit week of episode. I know they passed out. Like bro, it's fucking what? Daima's over. It's fucking April 19th. We're not getting this shit till end of April. Bro, we fucking. This is the slowest DLC. This is not timely at all. Which, not to cut you off, but isn't it crazy that you're here saying, man, this would have hit like if they dropped it week of. This is the brand new Dragon Ball franchise now. This is Daima right here you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, people would have hated on key moments a while ago. You said this a couple months ago. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, though.
I think the only glaring, like, inclusion here from this particular set, like, everyone deserves to be here. And I think Pansy is actually, it's kind of cool that she's here, but, like, Pansy over many other characters is so interesting. Like, I think if you gave me the reins, Dotto, and I got to choose the lineup here, I would probably leave it mostly the same. I think Glorio, especially coming from when this should have came out, should have been included. You know, Majin Ku, again, if this had dropped in January, like, this would have been crazy. But, like, no Tamagami 3 is nuts to me. I don't think you're the biggest Tamagami 3 glazer like I am, but, like, no Tamagami 3 is crazy. Because I think
I didn't even think of that.
We were gassing him up, Dotto. Like, we were like, I feel like you were with that. You were with me on that, because like you agreed that like using his hammer and shit, like his moves would be really cool and sparking.
Tamagami 3, and this is gonna sound like Daima hate too. Tamagami 3 is the only Tamagami I would like to see in Daima, and he is like, I don't know, he's like a mini boss character. You know, he's like the first big fight. He's funny, he's got a personality, and he's got a unique build.
Yeah.
I think it's a huge missed opportunity.
So I think if you were restricted to 8 playable characters here and you couldn't get Tamagami in, and so maybe he'll be in the next one, but like, I mean, the next one's got to have the new SSJ 4, the mini SSJ 4, the adult Super Saiyan 3, like, it's got to have Goma, it's got to have Do. Like, are we just not getting Tamagamis? Like, is there just not room for Tamagamis? Like,
no, we need to add more Vegetas and Gokus. Thank you.
I'm just,
but thank you for your humble pitch, bro.
But we got Pansy. I think like that's my,
bro, that
that's my only thing, dude. Does she throw a single punch in the series, Dotto?
I mean, she uses that electric fly swatter. She throws that one gas bomb, which kind of. That's the thing about, bro, this is, I replied to somebody on Twitter with this, and I don't want to say somebody because I think they're very talented. So let me stall. And while I'm stalling, I'm scrolling. And while I'm scrolling, I'm stalling. And while I'm stalling, I'm scrolling.
She also lists a rock, Dotto. And I bet you that's part of her. That's part of her actual like moves. She has to like lift the rock.
Xeno coffee mods. They said, and also Nano, I do think this is worth saying too. Their tweet was how the game couldn't even spare a spot for Shin. And I actually would agree with that because Shin is the brother of Degesu and Arensu, two major, well, not too much on Degesu. Not too much glaze on Degesu now. let's not pretend he was even needed in the show. He's on the main poster. He was involved in a handful of fights, which I'm not going to lie to you, Xeno Coffee Mods. A handful of fights might be glazing Shin a little bit. He might have attacked once or twice. But I don't know. It's like I read that and I was like, true. But at the same time, like, what the fuck did Glorio do? And Glorio is the most, like, has to be there one because he fought Goku. He shot a beam one time. I mean, it's literally like...
I don't want to answer. I don't want to get too deep into answering that because then I'm just going to end up getting on my Daima podium again.
It's fine. I don't want to step into it too much, but I agree with you is what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck did Pansy really do? But what the fuck did anybody really do? Like,
not too much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Not too much. Maybe dip one little toe in there. This is my third time dipping my toe in the water, though, this podcast. So maybe I'll kind of lose it. I'm just saying, though, I get why. But then again, the whole problem is Bandai's not dipping into the Daima well enough, and yet it really seems like they're already scratching the bottom of the barrel, and the barrel just started.
But Dotto, we haven't told them that they can become key members by clicking either join here on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments, where for the Zero Rewatchers, you can get early access on top of our reactions to the entirety of Dragon Ball Daima and tons of other reactions and gaming related content and bonus podcasts and so much available when you become and support the podcast a key member. I mean, the thing that sucks right now, honestly, like I don't know how much you pay attention to the mobile games. You do a little bit. Like, people were really mad at Legends for some reason. At, you know, Legends did a lot of Daima stuff pre anything crazy, and then like actually adapt the Tamagami 3 and Super Saiyan Goku like 10 days after the episode aired, which is pretty close to what I would expect most of the games to do, right? Like, I don't know. If you have the ability to do it, why not? Like, anytime you can capitalize on, like, close to the actual airing of something and the hype of something, it makes way more sense. And so then you fast forward to them doing nothing, to all of a sudden in March, like, they drop Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta just a few weeks after that episode aired, and then they drop Super Saiyan 4, adult version of Vegeta and adult version of Goku, and people are somehow complaining, Dotto, that, like, they did that too fast and that they didn't focus on the mini versions and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And I'm like, but I just feel like I felt like that was the move. If that was just, I don't know. Cause I'm guessing there was some sort of, embargo, right? Like Toei said, okay, you can have them up until episode 8. And then that's all you can have until like this date, maybe like March 1st or something. Cause on March 1st, is when Xenoverse revealed this adult Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta was coming to the game, which, by the way, is still not in the game. That, like, we have the image of him. He exists. We know he's coming. He's the only thing that's announced of all this new stuff for Xenoverse is adult Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta. And they announced that, like, frame one Japan March 1st. Like, it was crazy. So I'm guessing there was an embargo on all of it. And that could be why this is just now releasing in April, right? And that could be also why Legends didn't do anything until in March. Dokkan didn't do anything until in March. Like, all these games could not touch Super Saiyan 3, Mini Vegeta, and on until what appeared to be March. But, like, it was just so weird watching Legends adapt that and then people getting mad at it. But then, like, in Dokkan, all we have is up to Mini Super Saiyan 3. We don't have anything else. And then now in Sparking, you're presuming that we're not going to see the adults till what, Dotto? July? August?
A September? Long time. A long time. It's going to be a while.
We're getting this on April 24th. So, and the last pack we got was on, what, like January 26th? So 3 months ago. So probably at the soonest, another 3 months. Do you think that we'll get... How many more DLC packs do you think we're getting? So we know we've got this one. We know we have one more. How many more do you think that Sparking Zero specifically has in the tank? Like maybe another triple pack?
Two more.
Okay.
I think Daima 2 and then one last one and then something else is going to come out. Or, I mean, I think we'll know for sure by the second Dimapack. Like, they're going to announce one more, and I think by when they do that, also, I'm not too sure how much more they could add, to be honest. A character roster is not what Sparking Zero is lacking at all.
No. I agree. I mean, there's someone out there right now that's like a Super 17 main that they fell over when you said that, Dotto. But, really quick, though, I do want your opinion. What do you think about Legends jumping immediately to the adults? Do you think that was a bad move like the Legends community was trying to make it out to be, or do you think that was smart?
No. I think, I'm not going to lie, some of the mobile game conversations, it does, I feel like some of the mobile games conversation sometimes gets a little astroturfy. Like, I feel like sometimes Dokkan players hop in the Legends discussion and be like, oh, guys, they blew their load too soon, don't y'all think? Like, this is bad, don't y'all think? And like, there's definitely a little subterfuge. There's also, I mean, I get it, right? Like, holding it in kind of thing. But at the end of the day, peak Dokkan, peak mobile game release is day-in-day release, dog. Like, I want to play that shit as soon as possible. I don't need a big fucking anniversary because you can just do it again later better if you want. But the sooner the better. I think if the character's hype, the release is hype. Am I wrong for thinking that?
No. See, that's been always my thing, Dotto, with the mobile game specifically, is because I just feel like they can move so much faster, right? Like, I don't game dev, so I don't know. Maybe I'm, like, really naive, but I just have to imagine developing a Dokkan character and developing a Legends character, like, are far simpler than developing a Sparking Zero character, and definitely easier than developing, like, a Fighters character or something. So the appeal to me with the mobile games is they're so much more turkey, right? They are live service platforms. They get updates every single week. There is an update to those games every week. There is something new, whether it be a character getting like revamped with an EZA or Zenkai, or you know, they just, or just new characters in general. They're always getting new characters, and so that's kind of like their appeal to me, is how quickly like they can pump things into the game. So, but you hit the nail on the head there with that one, because it was a lot of Dokkan people that were just like, I don't know, because there's Dokkan people saying that we should wait for Adult Super Saiyan 4 until the anniversary next year, next February. And I'm like, whoa, why would we wait that long? Like, nobody's going to care then. What are you talking about, man? Like, I think already.
Yeah, I mean, people will care. I definitely think it doesn't. The thing is, it's not like there's an infinite well. Like, even though the mobile games update fast, the Dragon Ball franchise right now updates very fucking slow. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, Super Saiyan 4 is going to be old news, especially when manga content can't be touched up.
Sad.
But yes, no, I agree with you. You don't need to wait that long. These games have proven before they could just do the guy again. They could just drop transforming mini Goku to adult Goku.
Yeah.
Adult Goku that activates into super serious adult Goku. It's like, no, it don't fucking matter, bro. They could just do it. Was that a PyCon meme?
It is a PyCon meme, dude. So you did that unknowingly?
I genuinely did that unknowingly.
This week, Dotto, PyCon dropped, and he has a transformation, dude, but it's a costume change, and the costume change is called, Dotto, getting serious.
Dude, but the thing is, though, Nano, like, I'm not, look, people might think, oh, he just boomed Dokkan, he took him down. I think they should do that. You remember in multi, I was like, every character should have a transformation and just call it serious mode. I genuinely think that is a cool way of giving non-transforming characters like a little bit of impact. So, you know what? Based, Dokkan. I will say that, based.
Now,
also, wait, there was something I was going to say about Dokkan. Oh, fuck, it's over. No, just go ahead. It's gone, bro. It's gone. I had a poignant Dokkan point I wanted to make, and it slipped my mind.
I would have loved to hear your opinion on Dokkan, especially with it releasing an event that takes anywhere from 2 to 3 hours to beat. It was crazy.
Oh, I remember now. You know what Dokkan take that is like kind of a meme in y'all's community, but I actually, as an outsider looking in, it just pisses me off. But I don't. Oh. But nobody is actually pissed off by it. They just kind of meme about it now at this point. Why the fuck is PyCon getting an LR before Kid Buu? The Kid Buu is a major antagonist. Does Kid Buu already have one?
He does not. No. That is the meme, because every time some character, like, insert, I mean, PyCon is a filler character. He literally does not exist in a canonical timeline. He's only from a movie and an anime filler arc. but he has an LR before one of the four main villains of the Z timeline. It is crazy.
So, the reason it got brought up to me is I saw somebody's funny Photoshop image where it was like PyCon has left the group, and it was like characters that, using context clues, assumedly haven't gotten an LR yet, and Kid Buu is on that list again. But he was standing next to characters like Goku Blue, Vegeta Blue, and I'm like, these are characters, like, Goku has an LR, Vegeta has an LR, this isn't really a big deal. But Kid Buu is a fucking, like, main, he's the finale of Dragon Ball Z, what are you talking about? Like, how?
I don't know. It is really strange. And yeah, that's been a meme for like years, dude.
Years, dude. It's been years.
I mean, because LRs have been in the game since 2016. And yeah, somehow Kid Buu has still not got one.
Which, yeah, so also, I will say that LR Kid Buu is probably lame. I'm not going to lie. Like, I get it. Kid Buu don't really do that much.
No. Well, he has a lot of untapped animations, I feel like, in Dokkan still specifically, but I don't, like, Dokkan Twitter will hype something up that, at least from what we'll see on the view-wise of YouTube, which I feel like is not a one-to-one ratio, but probably a pretty solid idea of the general reception to something, you know, from the fandom. Kid Buu's probably not going to move the needle too much. Like, I doubt Kid Buu's going to, like, drop in the... I mean, he might a little bit more than he would otherwise, because he's just become such a large meme that when that video drops of him being in the game from, like, me or Truth or whoever that covers it, it will probably do pretty well, because he's just, it's been 7 going on 8 years now of LRs, and he's not like some of the LRs, and he
just
doesn't
just off memes alone, it would probably pop at least the first video.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this picture. This picture has Kefla, which is also another crazy one. Like, she is
is pretty crazy.
DBS fusion that has no LR. Specifically, the blue Goku and Vegeta are ROF, but yeah, they don't have. So their counterpart, the ROF Golden Frieza, has an LR, but there is not a single, dude, you know, a form you love that is slept on so heavily in both of these games is Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken. These games do not like to touch that form for some reason. I don't get it. It's really weird. Because, like,
that's my goat right there.
He's almost like the poster child of Sparking Zero. Like, I feel like when he does that spirit bomb, that was like in almost every trailer. Like, I saw that spirit bomb that he drops the spirit bomb and then goes Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken. I think that's just which ult is that? Is that just his Super Saiyan Blue ult? I don't know. Anyways.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing, like, where he goes UI, or, like, he falls into it.
But you got Hit on here, Kid Buu, and then PyCon is leaving. Too. Hit is also a weird one, because Hit is also a major character in Super. And so he has an LR, but it's like with, it's sort of like a what if type thing, and it's like with it's with Goku.
Yeah, I definitely gaslit myself. I do think Hit, Kefla, and Kid Buu are all equally deserving, and definitely before PyCon. That is fucking nuts.
So another aspect of this DLC that we appear to know as well, which I doubt anyone expected this after the $18 superhero DLC that didn't have any, but it doesn't appear to have any maps. Is that surprising? No.
Only as surprising as much as you trust Bandai to deliver any. I don't know. I like Bandai Namco. First of all, I should say that I love all their stuff, all their properties, what they make. But if you're asking me whether or not I trust the DLC to deliver, hell no, bro. I expected no stages, and that's horrible. They should definitely do stages. But this is why I play on PC. Hey, just a mini detour. Remember when everybody's like, why didn't you get into the anime game on PlayStation? Oh, I'm sorry that I like a little variety in my games, bro. A little stage here or there that's not just light mode, dark mode, bro.
Man, So it is funny doing this podcast. I just made a whole video that's like the rise and fall of Sparking Zero. And one of the things I brought up in that video is like, there's 12 stages technically, but I'm not counting Destroyed Planet Namek as one of them, because that's just Namek, but destroyed. And also, they really hyped up the character destruction, which it does destroy. But, like, I think Namek is the only one that will do the transition to a destroyed, like, with a bit, like, well, World Tournament does it too, but it just expands the map. Is Namek the only stage of the 11 that actually does, like, change after a big super?
Like, in a big way, I think so.
Yeah.
Or at least that's all I can think about. Not that the World Tournament isn't cool.
No, the world tournament cool is
all
gas.
Stages could do that.
That's the first time I didn't even see it. We were like, It's after, like, some of you guys got to play it at Summer Games Fest, and you were talking about it before the footage got to go live, and I was like, wait, well, you're, like, describing what happens, man? God, dude, I remember there was, like, a twinkle in all of our eyes right then.
Also, I booted up your video, which I have not watched yet. I am curious, since you told me you had a whole script. But speaking of writing out a script, I scrolled down to see, like, what the comments were. Rhyme wrote a fucking essay in response to your essay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
oh my god. I'm serious. If you're listening to this podcast, you whatever you're imagining, it's longer than that. This is a fucking essay.
Yeah, it is. It's like no joke, man. Like you can make a meme out of that where it's like you having to write an essay for like something at school versus you having to write
I want to Photoshop his response to this, but under like the rise and fall of bronies video, and just post that on Twitter. Like, damn, he care a lot.
But no, I think it's worth noting, and I probably a little bit late to be saying this, but I really like Sparking Zero. I still believe like that game with friends is like still peak. Like the next time you and I hang out like in person, I want to run some Sparking Zero IRL. You know what I mean? Like I think somebody is
the thing is like it is a cool game. I wonder if they do a sequel. I love talking about this because I feel like it's such a complex thing that isn't really all that complex. I genuinely feel like it's just a hard formula to do in a modern day setting with the internet involved and how competitive games have become like this. Because I do believe like you put BT3 and this together, it's like they're pretty similar games. Like this game is amazingly similar to its old counterpart. The only thing is when you play online mode, people have the internet. They know how to play. These guys are fucking training, like actually training and doing better. And then shit like, basically, I think the only thing they could do to make this game a little better is add more multiplayer, add more casual elements, incentivize more of the party mode mechanics.
And I need you to watch my video, man. Spitting.
I might be hitting on some of these essay points, but that's where it goes. But then you start thinking about it, and then it's like, okay, it's getting a little closer to Xenoverse, or maybe in a more positive, maybe it's getting a little more to, like Tenkaichi Tag. Maybe that's what people want nowadays. They want Tenkaichi Tag Tournament. Which is kind of Xenoverse-y, but...
One of my points, and I did use Xenoverse a lot in my video, but the thing is, Dotto, that like a lot of what we've talked about previously in the podcast when we talk about Sparking and its longevity and all of this, the thing that Xenoverse does well, though, it is the CAC aspects and the parallel quests, and like, here's a Metamorin fit that you can now farm up and go get for your character. Here is this new move where you have to go do this parallel quest like 100 times before it hopefully drops and then you have it. And while that's tedious and while that's like, I don't know, doesn't necessarily like vibe with me 100%, it is still content and it gives you something to go do. And on top of that, you can do a lot of those things with friends. Like the aspect of, like, if I want to play Sparking Zero with you, Dotto, the only way you and I can play Sparking Zero together besides doing a Steam remote play and facing off against a really tough AI is fighting each other. There is no aspect of me and you going on and doing like a 2v2 like type thing or something, or you know,
exactly. Yeah.
There's literally like the thing that I think makes games like Fortnite thrive, or like what I wanted to get to and ask you about Rematch, are games like that have a way for like you and your friend to go on and like just dominate, right? Like to actually work together towards a common goal versus like it's just we're gonna hop on and fight, which then I was like, I know there's gonna be someone that's gonna comment, well, that's a fighting game, right? But like Sparking Zero is not a fighting game. This isn't, you're not going to get on Sparking Zero and like, I don't know, learn all the best combos with Krillin and then go online and just like be able to like overcome every person because you were just the better player. Like if they get enough to instant spark and like they just do a couple combos and hit with an ultimate, like your health is gone. Because what Krillin has, what, 2.5 health bars or something like
also,
that?
Also, even to your point, which I agree with, I would say, yeah, you can take it competitively, but I think the game is so clearly so much lamer when both people are super trying hard to win and know what that looks like. Like the game just falls to a fucking, like, the enjoyability just goes, ew. Still, one of the best things, I don't know if it was Omega or Balvin said this, I can't remember which one. But it was like Sparking Zero is the corniest fucking game when both people are trying to win. And that point is like true, dude. It is like it just becomes fucking unbearable. Now, granted, that was in the Key Blast meta, which holy fuck, that was horrible.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They've done a lot. They've done a lot of stuff with the patches.
Oh, it was infinite, dude. After that first patch, I think it was the first one. Because when I was recording Rank Sparking Zero videos, not that I wasn't having fun when I was playing, but I genuinely would start recording a video, and there would just be so many times where I'm like, not today, not today. After the patch, it wasn't that bad.
Why do you think general interest in that game is like lower than you would probably expect it to be?
No, 100%. I would expect this to have happened because before the game was coming out, I would love to get a stream clip of this so I could like see exactly what I said. But I was like, everybody's trying to take this competitive. To me, this is not going to be a competitive game. I'm just going to play like the modes to have fun. I just think overall interest is down because people, I mean, you could see it in the way people talked about it. They're like, oh, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to be better than you. I'm going to be. It's like, dude, that's not this kind of game. And I just feel like there was a disconnect. Like, Budokai Tenkaichi 3 in people's memories is so much more different than how it would have been. It's like, honestly, it's weird. I feel like BT3 connects so much to people's, like, core nostalgia that it actually is just a part of their childhood. So they just think of it like, oh, good times. You know, it's going to be great. When really, you would play BT3, like, what, maybe a few hours a day, sometimes a week. It's like, that's not how people play games anymore, I feel like, on a major level. It just isn't. People want to grind. People want to interact with friends. People want to, you know, just make progress. Or at least like, or consume stories. I feel like the gaming medium is kind of shifting away from, or it wants to be a really good party game, you know, something you play with friends. That's the niche Sparking Zero hit. But again, the only niche there is to fight and improve. And if you improve too much, then the game's ass. So you got nothing there.
I did learn a very interesting fun fact, Otto, that I thought I would bring up.
What's that?
Which do you think made more? Budokai 1, or which do you think sold more copies? Budokai 1 or Burst Limit, Raging, all these combined, by the way. Burst Limit, Raging Blast, Raging Blast 2, Ultimate Tenkaichi, and Battle of Z.
I mean... The fact that you're asking me this question makes me want to pick the fucking least obvious one, but I would have assumed that all those games combined would easily outsell Budokai 1.
Nope. Someone called and said, is the sales data accurate? And I'm like, well, all I can go off of is the several different places that I found it. You know, like that's all I can go off of. But based on the sales data that I found, because here are the numbers I found, Otto. Burst Limit sold 200,000 copies. Raging Blast 1 sold 700,000. Raging Blast 2 sold 580,000. Ultimate Tenkaichi sold 700,000. And Battle of Z sold 620,000, which is about 2.8 million copies sold. Whereas Budokai 1, like actual straight up just Budokai 1, sold 3.5 million copies by itself.
Which is one thing I've learned about games, by the way. It's surprising how back in the day, like games would be considered very popular, but they sold like 400,000 copies. I'm like, what the fuck? I feel like that sounds horrible to me. Like, I don't know. Maybe I have brain rot from like modern day big boom games. But
one thing that could be different too about some of those games though that were like, I don't know how drastic this would affect it. But you know, back in the day, you could go rent a game. A lot of my experience, like when I started looking at my PS2 collection like a few years back, I was like, man, where's this game? Where's this game? I had all these memories from and. I was talking to my mom about it because I was like, I feel like I've got some games missing. And she's like, Tyler, are you considering some of those? Or like, we rented them? And I was like, holy shit, you're right. Like, I would rent, like, again, I'm old. So, you know, call me young, call me whatever you want. But I'm from an era where, like, on weekends, on Friday nights, we'd go to, like, our local grocery store. And it had a section where you could rent games and movies. And I would get to rent a game for the weekend. And so a lot of my memories of some of these games are literally just from like renting them, getting to beat them over the weekend, and then I take them back in. And so like that probably did affect, like it's crazy to say, but that probably affected some of the game sales for some of these games where like it has this massive fandom, but I bet you a large portion of people are like me and they played it through their friends, right? A lot of my GameCube experiences are entirely from my neighbor, which is like my kid never goes to any of our neighbor's houses. Like that's not even an experience he has because like times have changed. And like
they're a little young too.
But anyways, I don't know that will change either though. But then
probably not.
At times are just different. I don't know. And then renting games is just not a thing anymore. Whereas that would be like the Blockbuster bought one copy, and like me and 100 other people played it from that one scene of Blockbuster, and there was like thousands of those across the United States. I don't know how much that really affects it, but I also think like the coming together and playing at people's houses was just a much bigger deal back in the day. So like one person having a copy of Budokai Tenkaichi 3 could supplement like 10 to 15 people, you know, like, cause
yeah, no, I definitely do think that's a factor too. And also, dude, something about renting like games and movies is just super fucking nostalgic, even though objectively worse than I go through now. But it was like a simpler time. It made it like way more fun. Like, oh shit, every minute matters.
Like, I'm super into all this like physical media right now, but I'm reminded of like it's like we've gotten so used to just everything being so instantaneous, right? With YouTube, Netflix, all that, you just click on a video and it loads. Whereas like I have to get up and go put this thing in. And then when I want to do something else, I have to go put something else in, right? Like, and there's loading to it. Like, there's loading to a Blu-ray disc. There's loading to like old PS2 games or 360 games or whatever. Whereas nowadays with like everything on an SSD, it's all just like, you know, real fast internet. Everything just loads instantaneously. And it's just you select it and you run. There's no switching anything out.
Yeah, no, it's good. One thing I have learned recently about myself is I kind of do like ads. Bot take, but I feel like as a kid watching cartoons, I thought this back in the day too, like when the commercials would come on, I would only really mind if they repeated for too long. But even then, there was a strange comfortability in like a commercial I've seen 6,000 times. I was like, oh, it's this one again. Yeah, I know this one. Catchy song. And recently, because I've been watching more sports and stuff, like basketball, like I'll see ads and I'll go, that was a good ad. That was an okay ad. You know, look away, do something else. I'm like, you know what? I don't mind ads. Don't want to see them on YouTube though. I definitely pay for YouTube Premium.
Yeah. YouTube and specifically Twitch, man. Twitch is awful, bro. The other day, I don't know. I guess it was last weekend. You were live with Rematch and I was trying to like watch, but I wasn't signed in and I didn't have my sign in because I had
Twitch.
Anyways, dude, it was awful, bro. And I was like, what has Dotto got his ad set to? Because man, like I was getting hit with them like back to back. I was like, damn, dude,
that's crazy. I don't even think it's set that crazy. But also, yes, whenever I talk about ads, somebody brings up Twitch and I immediately am like, well, there goes everything I just said. Because Twitch, there's something about it that feels so awful. Like Twitch will dead ass say like one of 69 ads. It's like, this is horrendous. This is worse than TV. This is worse than watching a basketball game. Like a late stage basketball games and Twitch are about the same. Like timeouts every second, fucking ads rolling every 2 seconds. But no, yeah, that Twitch is bad.
Twitch is also different say, though, because it's not like you have a whole team that's choosing when to run the ads and is running the ad in between your rematch, like whatever. It's like you're there's a minute left, you guys are tied. And all of a sudden, Twitch's auto system's like, all right, it's time to run an ad. And now I can't watch you try to win that because by the time you're out of that rematch match, by the time the ads are done, you're out of the rematch match. I didn't get to see it, right? Because it's just all in an automated system. Whereas, like, if you had probably a team that could, like, run them for you, like you would in, like, a real, like, you would be running them when you were in the lobby. Like a sports
game, yeah.
So,
That's another thing though, is like, I got one really bad recently because I don't mind ads running right on Twitch. Obviously I would turn them off if I was like, I got to do this, but I appreciate when people sub, and I think a good benefit of subbing, hold on. Let me go on a mini tangent to explain this. There is something I don't like about the meta on Twitch being, well, the meta is don't run ads because people don't like ads and they leave when they don't got ads, but then it becomes people sub purely to give you money. And that's like it. And they get emotes and stuff, but they literally sub to give you money because they're nice. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like the ads are kind of there to be like, thank you for subbing. Now you don't have to watch ads. You know, you kind of paid your due, I guess. I don't know why I think that way. That's just how I think. But sometimes, dude, I did a Nintendo Switch Mario Kart direct reaction. And as soon as the direct starts, an ad comes up and I'm like, I fucking forgot to turn them off. I can't believe it, dude. This is horrible. I felt so bad. I was like, well, the vibes have been ruined.
I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is, dude. Are you excited for Mario Kart?
Yeah, the new Direct kind of put my fears to bed. I was like, all right, it's going to look pretty good, I think.
I don't know. It looks good. It doesn't look... I'll tell you one thing I really need that I don't think was addressed there was when I'm free roaming with my kid on that game, I really want to be able to listen to like a Nintendo radio, but listen to stuff that's not just Mario Kart.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. Also, I should update you. The newest Direct, I don't know if you saw it. It was just a Mario Kart one.
Yeah.
It actually kind of sold me. I think free roam will be kind of fun now. Like, they have a lot of mini optional challenges and everything. Before, I was like, this is pointless. Is this just for kids? I was wrong. It looks like, you know, it's actually going to have some challenges. It's going to have some, like, you know, mini objectives. So, even better for kids. But now, when you play it with your son, I think you'll actually be like, hey, can we go try this challenge real quick? They look pretty interesting.
Dude, he's really into Forza Horizon 5.
All right, well, that is a crazy game for a kid to be into.
Yeah, he saw it, and you know, Game Pass. You know, I know Dotto knows a little thing or two about Game Pass.
He might be a Game Passer.
He saw it on there, and he's like, "All right, well, I want to try this game." I mean, like, again, in terms of what we let him play, it's still very much so. Like, he's seven. Like, he's not playing anything that's too complex, and he's not playing anything that could potentially have any type of violence or anything like that. When we play Fortnite, we only play Lego. We do not play like the actual main Fortnite mode. Anyways, and so earlier, Brianna was just like, that's my wife. She was like asking him just different questions, and she asked him like, well, what's your favorite game you've ever played? And he said, well, first off, he called it Verizon. He called it Forza Verizon 5. I'm like, it's not Verizon.
Sponsored memory, bro. He's yeah. Like, he's already in the machine.
Like, it's Horizon, man. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, but yeah, Horizon. He's like, this is so much fun. I just got a new car earlier. I was like, anyway, yeah. So I showed him the trailer for Mario Kart, and he's like super excited about the free roam part. Like, he just wants to drive around.
Hey, I mean, I think it's gonna be pretty fun. Can I ask a pair? What age do you think would you be like, yeah, you know what? You can play normal Fortnite now. You're ready.
If I were a betting man, like 9, probably, like 2 years from
all
now.
All right, that's pretty good, I'd say.
I feel like Fortnite is decently tame, right? Because you don't actually die in Fortnite, and there's no blood. Like, there is still guns, but like, I don't know how strict we're trying to be. Like, past, I don't know. That's probably, honestly, like, I'll say 9, but like, obviously, you know, I'm not the only parent. The other parent might have something to say about that. She might be like, yeah, no, probably like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I think I was just interested in it because I'll never forget my, I'm going to be honest. My parents were strict, but not, they were pretty like laid back. My parents were very good, but with games, my mom was very much like, I don't think she perceived games as an issue at all. Like, so when I played Modern Warfare 2, I think this was Modern Warfare 2. I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was Call of Duty 4. I actually don't know. She was like, okay, when you, like, because you know when you get shot, the blood pops up on your screen, like a damage indicator?
Yep.
She's like, when you see that, just pretend like it's jelly. All right, you're good to go. And I was like, huh, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but bet. And also, I was a huge Gears of War player, so I was like, I've seen way worse shit, to be honest with you. I've seen way worse shit, but yeah, true, I got you. So yeah, no, I'm very interested in that because in my childhood it was just like, well, just, you know, it's fake, right? Yeah, all right, you're good to go then, Chief.
Yeah, we're probably gonna be a little strict on some of that at some point though. Like,
I can't say I blame you.
I've not fully forgotten what it's like to be a kid, and I remember my mom being so strict, and I was super into like Jack 2 because. That was basically GTA, but rated teen, right? Like, Jack 2 was, like, genuinely a strict kid's, like, GTA. And I could not play GTA, except for if I went to, like, a friend's house. And I snuck Vice City into my house. So I'm like, kids will find a way, you know? Like,
they will. But that's also, I feel like one thing, and you can, as an actual parent, you can give your thoughts on this. I feel like there is a benefit to being strict and letting your child rebel a little bit in a safe way. Like, did sneaking Vice City do damage to Nanogenics? No, probably not. But, you know, it was a little rebellious, a little something to hide. But it's Vice City. It's not, you know, weed or early alcohol. Or, you know, but it's, I think, like, low-key, and people could correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a legitimate benefit to, like, some sneaky stuff. It's not that bad, to be honest. Like, it's not. But, you know, sometimes you got to break a little rules. You set out to be your own human a little bit.
I would say, yeah, of the, all the things I could have probably been sneaky about, yeah, sneaking in Vice City and playing it on low volume on my 13-inch CRT TV.
Yeah,
it,
like, bro, every that's honestly a core memory. When my, and this one is honestly a little worse than what you, when my older friend, I was at his mom's house, he pulled up GTA and he was like, here's the really cool thing. I'm going to go to a strip club. And he's like, if you hear my mom walk down the hallway, you have to fucking warn me, dude. If she sees this, it's game over. And I was like, oh shit, this is crazy. Like, this was objectively worse than what you were doing. But at the same time, it's like, did it fuck me up for life? No. But it was really fun. It was like, it was fun. It was like, oh, this is crazy, dude. What the fuck?
Dude, I remember getting up like, so fortunately enough, my TV was on the wall where you would walk into the room and like, you couldn't see the TV because it was on the wall on the same door with the door to walk into my room. And so, but I do remember getting up a couple times to like check and look like out the hallway to see if she was like, you know, coming or whatever. But she mostly let me do whatever. She hung out in like the living room and I hung out in my bedroom. That was pretty much it, right? Because I just grew up with just me and my mom. So like, I like, usually I was fine, but I would be like, you know, like checking a little bit. Like, hey, like, you're not coming, right? All right, cool. Then drive around a little bit more, listen to, what was it, Flash FM? God damn. See, I am really excited about GTA 6, man. Going back to Vice City is going to be so fire, bro. I'm like, I'm so excited for freaking 6, bro. I really am.
I'm more excited for 6 since we last played because I'm just like, oh, yeah, like, there's going to be a lot to do.
Dude.
Like when GTA 5 first came out, like, I you kind of forget because I burned through this content pretty quick. It didn't have heist, but it had built-in missions that were pretty fun. So even if it just has that, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm excited.
Speaking of games you're excited for, dude, how's Rematch?
Rematch is really good. If people are listening to this podcast, I basically did become a Rematch channel recently, which is obviously I'm not, right? That's a joke, a little hyperbole, but I've been fucking loving Rematch, and my first Rematch video did very well. And it just, like, every Rematch video I upload does so well. I love it so much. It's a hard not to just want to upload Rematch right now. But dude, have you tried it yet?
I have, yeah. No, I was gonna see if you want to play it when we were done.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm down. We probably could get like Rhyme and Balvin too, run a little squad. It's such a good game. It's so good.
Dude, can I glaze you for a second?
Go ahead, bro.
Dude, your channel is looking crazy, bro. I saw you drop that RuneScape video, and I was like,
dude.
First off, I was like, holy shit, bro. Was like, because I was like, that shit's been out like 36 hours, dude. What is this? But then look at your channel, dog, and I'm like, 200K on a RuneScape video. I'm like, whoa.
No, Nano, let me just tell you this, because unironically, and thank you for bringing it up, because now I could talk. I really wanted to talk about this, but there's no self-centered way to bring this up. I have been really proud of my channel lately because Rematch, like when I did Rematch, it was just because I was like, oh, this is really fun. I want to put it on the channel. And I've been going through like my whole like Dragon Ball thing. Like, what am I going to do? And I'm still doing Dragon Ball. I'm still having fun. I'm just going to do what's fun. And then I realized I've been like, I've just been coasting. I've been taking it easy. I've been coasting. I've been like confused on what I want to do. I did Rematch. It did so well. And I was like, wait a second. Why don't I play games that I think are fun, that are new and in the SEO and like people are looking for them and do that? So I did Rematch, and then, you know, RuneScape came out and I was like, that looks cool. You know, maybe we'll do a 3D. It's a video on it. And then I was like, it was literally 10 PM at night. And I said, no, why the fuck am I going to wait for a 3D video when I could record this shit right now and upload it tomorrow? I literally was like, let me try it out. Let me see if I can make a video. And I did it, made a video. Nano, if I showed you this stat line, and we're talking YouTube moments again, we're back to this. The stat said, it was like one of those YouTube things. It was like, congratulations, people are clicking on this more from the YouTube search feature. It said, usually you get like 13,000. Nano, the RuneScape one was 130,000 impressions from YouTube search. It was a 10x increase. I was like, oh my fucking God, this is what talking about current shit gets you? And it proved, dude, the RuneScape video did like 100K day one, and it's now at like 218. And I was just like, wow, I'm really proud of that. That's a modern day video. It's a modern game video. I played it. It did well. Then people searched it and it was good. I kind of want to do a sequel to it, honestly, but I did promise people a 3 Idiots. So I think I will wait for it now since there's no like SEO rush. But no, I did ask think, and I've also been uploading daily recently, just because, I don't know, it's been a fun grind. But YouTube's definitely a job that's easier to do when you feel like you're on fire. Like that first rematch video definitely kicked my ass into gear. I was like, okay, I'll work now. But no, it's been fun. It's been crazy. And now I'm just waiting for the next thing. I'm waiting for the next game to pop up, bro.
Yeah, man. Me too, man.
what you waiting on though, bro?
I don't know, man. I won't. You know what? We won't talk about my channel here. We'll just, you know, rematch, man. I'm pretty excited to. When does this game actually drop? Rematch.
I got no idea.
Hang on. It drops. It's a $30 game.
It is. I thought it was going to be free to play. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Not that I don't think they deserve what they want to charge, because I've been having a fucking blast.
Yeah, no, I say this in the kindest way possible. But I thought it was going to be free to play too, probably like with a battle, like supplemental battle pass and stuff like that. But
I'm not going to lie. Maybe, and I'll just say it, bro. I thought it was going to be free to play because this is a game that would do fucking numbers in Brazil. Like if this hits the Brazilian audience, which I think would be even bigger and free to play, like you're going to make your money back. No way. Like you just will, like over like small time microtransactions, you know, price it accordingly. I just don't see how this game could flop. The only way this game flops is if not enough people give it a chance because of that barrier. You can't play the game with some homies or without and just be like, okay, I want to play again. Okay, I want to play again. At least for me. Like, I fucking played one game. I think it goes to show that people are like, oh my God, like, how long have you been excited for rematch? I didn't know this game existed until a week ago, bro. Like, I just hopped on and I had so much fun that now I'm here.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even know, like, when you were talking about, like, want to play it, or maybe Balvin was. I don't know. Somebody was. And I was like, what game are y'all even talking about, bro? Anyway, it comes out June 19th, by the way. So in 8 weeks.
Mm.
In 8 weeks, the game will be like fully out. But yeah, dude, this game is a ton of fun. I won't act like I played anywhere near as much as you. I probably have like 3 hours on the game, maybe.
That's still pretty good.
I had a buddy text me because he's like, yo, wait, YouTuber privilege. Because he got a key this weekend. And he sent a picture of me like activating it last weekend or whatever, and he's like, well, how good is it, like what would you compare it to? And I'm like, I mean, the best way I know to compare it to, which I know is so basic, but it's like the fun I was having last weekend is the fun I had initially on Rocket League. Like Rocket League came out the weekend that I was at a QuakeCon, whatever year it came out, and so we just played a shit ton of Rocket League at QuakeCon that week, and it was just so much fun, dude. Like it was just a blast. And so I know mechanically that they're quite a bit different, but it's the best way I knew to compare to him, and I knew he'd played Rocket League. Yeah, dude, this game is really cool, and like scoring is so satisfying in this game. It's unbelievable how satisfying scoring in this game is.
That's what I really love about it, because obviously in Rocket League is like, I think, way more technical because you can get so much more technical. But this game has a designated goalie. And one thing that's really hard to remember, but it ups the fun factor if you do, is like the other goalie is human. You like literally how you score is tricking another human. And it triggers that same like part of my brain that's like fighting games. Like, I'm going to come up and mix your shit, bro. And if you block it, damn, you got me. But I'm going to mix your shit again. It's so much fun. It's like fighting games on a soccer field. The only bad part is, bro, I've been made fun of by so many like Europeans.
Wait, what?
this one like British guy didn't know his mic was on. He's like, fucking Americans in the chat, man. I was like, oh, your mic's on, bro. Because my football slang, if you watch any of my videos, I just use like basketball and like American football terms.
Oh, no.
Like bang, like downtown, like hit him, he's deep. It's just like, I have no vernacular for soccer. And it shows. Like all I know is pitch. I spam pitch. I spam Blue Lock references, which have also, I don't know if you've noticed, Nano, all of my thumbnails are Blue Lock references.
Blue Lock panels.
Yeah, it's cool. It works out pretty good, I'd say.
I noticed, I can't tell what's going on here. Did you A-B test rematch versus three idiots?
I did.
Okay, because I've seen different version of that thumbnail like several times now, and I'm like, is it glitching? Is he changing it? Was it A/B tested? Because there's one with Dino's face covering up where you hit it, and there's one showing like the impact on the ball.
Yes, you're right. And Rex said he probably thought the face without the face would do better, and I was like, I'll A/B test it. And I was like, you're right, and I can definitely agree. Like, it looks way better. It's a little sucky because Rhyme's a part of the video too, but I sent him the image. I was like, you got Mike Wazowski by the A/B test, bro. You're out.
By the way, I think it was Dino, was like talking back to somebody and was talking about your Daima SSJ4 Goku thumbnail that you used twice.
Yeah.
I'll be 100% honest with you, man. And this is why, like, when sometimes you guys watching videos will point this out, it like impresses me because like, I do a decent job of like checking in on everybody's channel every so often, just kind of see how everybody's doing, you know? And so I'd seen that thumbnail that says enemy level 100 Super Saiyan 4 Goku, and it's two idiots versus Daima SSJ4 Goku, and that's on Sparking. And then Dotto reframed it and reused it on a Xenoverse video with three idiots. And I did not know that was a reused thumbnail, by the way. Not at all. So like, bravo, dude. Cause I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I just didn't have a thumbnail done for that day, and I was like, you know, because I really liked that thumbnail by Rex. I was like, it looks good, and honestly, the two idiots one, it didn't like bang. Like, it did really good, but what was it at?
It's at 132 right now.
It was at 132, and I was like, this is a thumbnail that I think could have done better. I think the enemy being above the red sky kind of killed it a little bit. I think the text is a little, it's just like maybe a little too small. And I was like, or maybe the text shouldn't have even been there, to be honest. I was like, all right, let me just use it again. Which, by the way, I watch a channel called Oni Plays. It's like a Let's Play channel. They basically, I think they perfected the art of being, and these guys come from like animation backgrounds, so I don't mean this in a negative way at all. They have worked harder than me, earned more than me. It's the, you know, the Dragon Ball Z animation, the old one, the classic like derp Goku, which sounds like weird to say now, but like the ugly Goku.
Yes.
Yeah, like the classic parody. That's what I'm saying. They work hard, but they've perfected the art of a lazy Let's Play channel. They have one, well-drawn thumbnail or like a well, you know, CG made thumbnail, Blender made, and then they use a different color background and flip it back and forth. And it's like, that's all you really need. Like, people get it. You know, people just get it. They make montage videos, even if the series is only like three episodes long. Like, there's a lot they make. And at the end of the day, I'm just watching them like, yeah, who really fucking cares? Like, you're making Let's Play videos, which is what I do. Like, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Man. So really, I've laxed up on it, honestly. Like, if I have something that I can reuse, I'm gonna flip that bitch and reuse it. I really, unless it's like, I'm not gonna lie, Rematch is doing so well that they can get a new thumbnail out of me. Like, I don't mind paying the premium. But if I can flip it, it's getting flipped.
I mean, I won't lie. Like, I know, I actually think the second variation does look like a little bit better. You're right.
I agree.
Like being able to see SSJ4 Goku like a little bit bigger. Like, again, didn't even know it was a reuse. Wouldn't have known if it wasn't called out on Twitter that day. So, anywho, guys, I feel like I can like.
I hear a little bit of music. Yeah, it's like coming in my ear right now.
Well, hang on,
what? Kind of getting to me. Well, no, I just, it's the music. It's like moistening the walls of my ear right now.
That's so weird, man. There's like a video on the screen if they're watching this on YouTube that they could click on and they could like get this song to stop.
And if they're listening to the audio version, there's nothing. There's nothing for you.
By the way, we see you on Spotify. If you made it this far, I've seen comments. I meant to bring one up, and now.